Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway View of GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:06 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Tim McKernan, Douglas Elvin Vaughn, Ben Fredrickson with you here on the radio program. Welcome to the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour, online at designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop train. On the program today, John Shannon of Rogers Sportsnet and former executive producer of Hockey Night in Canada, former National Hockey League vice president of programming, and Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart. For Doug, his farewell appearance for the 2016-17 campaign as the Blues season comes to an end in Nashville in six games.
Yeah, I'm not going to be much good to you this morning, fellas.
Was that Sports Sunday was on it too?
Something like that, yeah. Lady Journalism was a restless lover last night. Didn't get much sleep. I'm down with the Blues losing. I'm just not going to be much good to you. You'll have to carry the show if you don't mind, Fredzy.
Doug confirmed he was not tired because he stayed up late watching the Cubs Yankees.
Did you really stay up watching it?
No.
I tried to watch the end of it because I'd invested. You know, it was on. I'm one of those guys, like, if you spend an hour or two watching, you want to see it through the end, but then I fell asleep.
We went to bed. Doug, we were watching Summer Rental. It was on last night.
Oh, wow.
And thank you.
Yeah. One of Chris Gardner's favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah, no doubt.
And it was on. We usually watch Last Week Tonight on Sunday nights, but Summer Rental was on. It had just started, and damn it if it isn't one of the best pictures of all time. And so we were invested in that, and Anna Marie goes, is this from, like, your time?
Your time.
Wow.
And I go, I think it was made in 84, so, you know, you were technically alive, but probably not enjoying it as much as I did at 7 years old. But so we didn't watch Last Week Tonight. We watched Summer Rental, and then we went to bed. I usually like to stay up for Sports Sunday.
Yeah, well, so does the rest of St. Louis.
Right, but we went to bed, and then I couldn't fall asleep, so I go downstairs, and I just figure, you know what, I'll hang out. The strategy, for the record, that works for me when you can't fall asleep is to get out of bed, actually.
Yeah, that's probably the wrong thing to do.
Oh, really? No, it works for me.
Really?
It does, yeah, as opposed to, like, tossing
around
and turning, yeah.
You get the blood pumping, that'll keep you awake.
No, it works for me. I don't know.
Take a lap or something?
No,
or
like a hot lap.
Yeah.
No, and so I turned on ESPN. I don't know why, but I did. And I'm like, oh my God, they're still playing. And it was like 12:30 and it was still going on. It must not have ended until 1 or something St. Louis time.
I don't know how it ended still to this. I haven't checked yet.
Ground ball.
I did see Rizzo take a Chapman fastball off the forearm and shake it off like a bee sting. I thought, that guy's something else.
Wouldn't that make you just want to quit baseball completely?
He spent the rest of the game holding his forearm. They didn't take him out.
So that was going on until around 1 in the morning. So Doug, if you were up watching it, I understand, because I don't think it ended until 1 this morning. But the focal point of today's radio program here, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios and on the appliance discounter phone lines, where we welcome you to get involved, 855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK. That's how you can save it in your phone. It's how you can call in. It's how you can text in. The appliance discounter is the sponsor of the phone lines here on the radio program. Get involved on the Blues. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The new Concord Plaza location in South County debuted on April 1st, and you can still get some terrific opening specials. Their official ribbon cutting on the appliance discounters' 7th location is taking place on Wednesday. Stop by and enter a raffle for a fully stocked Budweiser mini fridge. The other 6 area stores are celebrating the occasion as well with huge savings on all appliances. It's the appliance discounters, sponsors of our phone lines here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and they are located in St. Louis and South County, in Baldwin, in Webster Groves, in St. Charles, in Arnold, in South City on Delord, in Fairview Heights. It's online at theappliancediscounters.com. Our savings are your savings. So get involved as the Blues season comes to an end. Here is where I am. I thought the Blues played one of their best games overall of the entire postseason on Friday night, and yet they still had to scramble a bit in order to just win that. And so at that point, I was prepared for death yesterday. And it would have been a lovely windfall if there was a game seven. But even if there would have been a game seven, I wouldn't have felt all that optimistic about that because I felt like the Blues fired their best punch on Friday night and still were scrambling to just get a one-goal win. And at that point, I'm like, yeah, I've been saying this throughout the course of the postseason, so you're talking about a little less than a month, and I don't feel like the Blues have played the style of hockey that we were accommodated to over the month of March and the first week of April, and perhaps it just wasn't going to happen, and perhaps the credit has to go to their opposition, in addition to the fact that they, A, took some really bad penalties throughout, and B, just could not do anything on the power play. What a great statistic in, I believe it's Jeremy Rutherford's piece in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch this morning and online at stltoday.com. It is the fifth worst power play efficiency for teams that have played at least 10 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs since 1986. And that's how bad it was. They got one goal against the Wild on the power play, one goal against the Predators on the power play, and that was when Vern Fiddler had been kicked out of game two. So they were enjoying, I believe, a 5-on-3, I think, when they got that one. And they just couldn't do anything. Now, they only got one power play yesterday. But, you know, it sucks because it's not fun, and maybe other people have different views on it, but they were not the better team. And so that's the way that usually it will go. The thing is, they didn't really play like the better team against the Wild, even though I think they may have been, at this point in the year, the better team than the Wild. They just didn't necessarily play like it. What does it matter? They won in five games. In this case, you know, I felt like it was like watching a team tread water, and you're just like, I hope they can possibly do it. When they were up 1-0, I'm like, oh my God, because I figured this thing was going to be like a 4-1 Nashville win, but
almost was.
Yeah. It wasn't there, and it would have been very surprising had it been there.
Will your opinion of this finish change based on where the Predators go from here? Because I think the Predators might be pretty good.
Yeah. We did our little Stanley Cup predictions based on the 8 teams left last week, and I said Predators Capitals. That was based on thinking Sidney Crosby was done. Saw him reemerge over the weekend. I mean, the Ottawa Senators are a win away from being in the conference finals. But yeah, I mean, if I had to pick a team that's left right now, I would pick the Nashville Predators. I mean, look what they did to the Blues. Blues scored one goal in each of the three games at Bridgestone, and you saw what the Predators did to the Blackhawks there as well. So that's going to be tough for anybody.
I'm not going big picture season wise in terms of, I think it's impressive they got this far with the season they had, but in this series alone, you know, Nashville only outscored them 15-11, and one of those was an empty netter. So it's like, it shows you how close they were despite not putting together their full game. I mean, they would not committed some dumb penalties. If they would have, you know, got something, anything out of their power play, this could have been a win. So I think it's, in some ways it's like, yeah, clearly the Blues never put their best game out there, but It wasn't a rout.
I thought they did on Friday.
Yeah.
Especially in the first period, but really throughout. I'm like, yeah, if this is as good as they've played, not necessarily as good as they can play, but as good as they've played. And Nashville also looked like they were, I don't, disinterested is obviously an overstatement, but didn't have urgency. So if Nashville's not playing its A game, the Blues are playing their best game to date. I don't know if that would necessarily be their A game. And it still was a 2-1 win. I'm like, okay, there's just no way that they're going to be able to win two more. I don't care if it's at Bridgestone or in a game seven in St. Louis. That was actually in the back of my mind, kind of the fear that they, especially when they took the 1-0 lead, I'm thinking, oh my God, they could possibly win this thing, which I went into yesterday's game, you know, thinking that's highly unlikely. But then it would be even more gut-wrenching to come home with momentum and then lose in a game seven. So it didn't come to that, of course. And but yet, once again, what was it, 3 straight games that it went into the third period, tied at 1? Mm-hmm. And 4
in the series, yeah.
Yeah.
And it just looks like the Blues are an offensive player or two away from being a real legitimate contender. They've got Tarasenko, who didn't do a lot, but there's no doubting that he's their top dog. And Jaden Schwartz makes plays where you think that he might make something happen. other than that, I don't know that there's really anybody that when they get the puck on their stick, you're thinking, uh-oh, here we go. This is going to work. I don't think they're aggressive shooting the puck often enough. I know I'm one of the fans who sits there and screams shoot all the time, but Nashville plays it that way. Nashville tees off when they get a chance. I thought the Blues were still a little bit passive at times, but even though one of the big stories of the series was how great Pekka Rinne played, he didn't have to do a whole lot yesterday. I mean, he wasn't sprawling all over the place. He wasn't stopping breakaways and point-blank slap shots. It never happens. Never happens.
The Predators' defensemen really shined in this series as well. And part of the reason they shined is because the Blues have some holes there. And that's another thing. If you're looking at things to build forward, I mean, you got some... Bomeister's not going to get it done. I mean, if you have to keep him, he has the contract, but you're just praying that maybe somebody takes him in the expansion draft. I don't know. I mean, they have some holes there, and it showed in this series because Nashville has good ones.
You are welcome to get involved. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. Mike Yeo's thoughts on the loss despite the Blues coming out and getting that 1-0 lead very early on in the first period.
Hit the lever, Plowsy. All right, here's Mike.
Well, definitely a great start. Obviously, it was great grabbing the first goal. I think that they started to push back a little bit. Maybe they were nervous at the beginning. I'm not sure, but they really started to push back. I think some of our, you know, we went to the penalty box a little bit too much there early, and it kind of took a little bit of momentum away from us. But, you know, it was still right there for us all game long. And then obviously a couple mistakes that we made end up in the back of the net. We couldn't find a way to, it's tough. You know, Jake did an unreal job. He was so good. But obviously we got to give him a little bit more support than that.
Yeah. So often when the Blues lose in the postseason, the morning after, and I'm not talking about this show, I'm talking about any show, any column, eulogy is focused on the play of the goaltender. And really never at this point through 11 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs did I go, oh, God. I mean, you didn't even think about the backup goaltender. I wonder when the last time that happened, by the way, that the Blues played this many games in a postseason and there was never even talk of it. That's how good he was. And there was a save, and Steen actually says it. I don't know if it's in our sound here. And they were highlighting it on the NBC broadcast. On that breakaway, I think it was another two-on-one, the two-on-one that didn't result in a goal, where Parayko was caught off, where Allen made an incredible glove save. And it might have been McGuire who said, if the Blues come back, remember this moment. It was a ridiculous save. He was so damn good. And you don't always get that. And as Allen said, and I don't know if that's included in here, you just don't know how often you're going to get back to this point. And yes... You know, at least it had been put as a label that this was a transition year, which I suppose psychologically for many fans makes it feel less damaging. It's tough to think that a team that was in the Western Conference Finals, a year ago was in a transition year, but I do understand the line of thought, partially potentially marketing, but partially in truth, and that you lose back as Brower, Elliott, Shattenkirk gets traded. It does stand to reason. It doesn't have the same firepower as it did last May, but that you're not guaranteed, kind of like how it felt a lot over the 80s and 90s, that you're going to get to the playoffs, number one, and number two, be two wins away from the Western Conference Finals. And had been the case with a win yesterday, hosting the second round game 7 for the first time at Scott Trade Center since 1986 with a trip to the conference finals on the line. They've hosted game 7s at Scott Trade Center, but not to go to the conference finals. And that's what we would have had on Tuesday night. And it would have been an 8:45 start. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess it's my analogy. Anytime something like this happens with one of the local teams, you know, pick your poison, whether it be this series, even last year against the Sharks, even though that one was 2-2 with the Blues leading going into the third period, or tied, I guess, leading late in the second period, tied going into the third period of game 5 against the Sharks, Missouri, Alabama in the SEC championship. The Predators are just the better team. It's no fun. And some people don't like to hear that or don't want to agree with it or whatever the case might be. And maybe I am wrong. But it's like the 2004 World Series. It's just like, okay, because it really wasn't that much of a sweat, it's a little less painless. But it doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, a lot has to go right just to get back to the point where the Blues are two wins away from the conference finals this time next year. And so I think one of the things that became a lesson for St. Louis area sports fans, those old enough to remember it anyway, were that the Rams came out of nowhere to become a great team for four of five seasons, with the exception of the 2002 season, that 99 through 2004 run, and then it became like an expectant birthright that they would be like that for many years to come, and then all of a sudden it ends, and you go, oh my God, that was just fun just to be 500 in 2004 and get to the playoffs, what we wouldn't do for that. And so when you look at what the Blues are kind of stuck with contract-wise and therefore roster-wise to improve upon what they did this year, I don't know how realistic it is for the team to make leaps and bounds in the offseason to be up at the level of take your pick of which team.
Yeah, they need some of the younger players to show a lot of improvement. It hurt them not to have Robbie Fabry out there. He's one of their better offensive players. I think that's the key. They just got to get one or two more players who can score. You look at some of the teams that are still alive, and they score in bunches. Washington and Pittsburgh, far superior offensively than anything the Blues have. Edmonton had five goals in the first period last night. Anaheim scored three goals in a minute and a half on Friday night. I don't think the Blues have that in them. They can't do that, and there are going to be nights where you give up a couple bad goals, where a couple calls go against you, and you're like one of the games this playoff series, they're 5-on-3, beat them. You've got to be able to, on certain nights, just simply outscore the other team, scoring in bunches. And right now, the Blues can't do that.
It would have been interesting to see how Fabry's speed would have played in this series. I mean, you sit there and go, what if? Do you think you feel a lot better about Jake Allen coming out of this than you did not too long ago? I mean, it wasn't long ago that we were sitting there going, are they going to have to go get another goalie? Did they make the wrong bet?
He was told to stay home on a road trip. You're not getting it done. Why don't you stay home?
And then the Sobotka extension doesn't look as bad as it did when they brought him back over, too. I mean, he had a great postseason. I mean, you don't feel good about Perron. You don't feel good about Patrick Berglund right now.
No.
But, you know, there's always going to be a punching bag.
Your thoughts are welcome. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan KFNS, the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. John Shannon with us at 8:15. Kelly Chase with us at 9 o'clock. You are welcome to give your thoughts. Doug, let's take a look at what we got here in the text inbox.
Well, that's like always dangerous.
Tim, I blame Doug for the Blues loss. Had he come over and had ribbies with me, they would have won. Thanks a lot, Doug. You ass. That's from Mae Young's newborn
hand. I was pressed for time.
Oh, you were going to go to Mae Young's newborn?
No, I had no intention of ever going.
Where does he live? Town and country?
I haven't the foggiest idea. Deep Jeff County, I'm guessing.
Doug thinks the Blues need to outscore opponents some nights. Nice take, you old idiot.
Well, and games that aren't 2-1, 1-0. Can you follow that line of reasoning?
The team that scores more usually wins.
Sometimes you got to score 4 or 5 or even 6 to win a game. And other teams in the league, some of the better teams, are capable of doing that. And I don't know that this Blues team was.
The worst part of the Blues loss is Doug isn't going to pee on me anymore. Mm. Thanks, the hipster Tower Grove South. What in the hell does that mean?
Was that the key to the turnaround?
Hipster of Tower Grove South has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time for his mouth.
You're not having it today.
His name is going into the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension log. You and I expect that didn't feel real good.
His love-giving mouth. At first, I was upset that they were talking about Nashville all the time. However, I realized they are better. Thanks, Steve Wildwood.
Solid take.
Those of us who have been watching the Blues from their first year, you kind of get the sense that this year, this is who the Blues have been over 50 years. They're a pretty good team. They almost always get in the playoffs. The playoffs are exciting, and they almost always come up short.
And usually on a Sunday afternoon, I feel like. I think if you look up the numbers, I believe a Sunday afternoon against the Blackhawks in 15, or 14, I guess it would have been, Sunday afternoon against the Wild in 15, and it was a game 6 in San Jose, but I don't think that was a night game or the Sunday afternoon game, and then Sunday afternoon. That's when they get buried. That's when So I'm just kind of like, this is the traditional Sunday afternoon burial ceremony.
If you were to average out who the Blues are over 50 years, this is about it. A second round playoff loss. That's about what they are. They went, what, 25 years in a row making the playoffs every year. They had the 3 years at the beginning where they went to the finals. They had a few years here about 10 years ago where they couldn't win anything. But on the average, this is who the Blues are. They'll get you to the second round, and then they'll probably lose. As a franchise, they're a good, solid B, B+.
The thing is, since 2000, they've only lost in the second round, I believe. Now, is it three times? 2002 and 2012, and now this. So it's been a lot of first rounds and then two appearances in the conference finals since the 2000s, although the stereotype or the label in the 80s and 90s, oh, they'll lose in the second round. That's what usually happened, with the exception of that Monday Night Miracle year where they went to the conference finals and lost to the Flames in seven. But yes, that was the label attached to them, unfortunately, I guess, because it hasn't resulted in a cup no matter what, or even an appearance in the Stanley Cup final since those first 3 years, is that they haven't been getting to the second round most of the time, although now 2 years in a row. But that's the thing. It also shows you how difficult it is now versus what it used to feel like anyway, to just get into the playoffs. And then secondarily, once you do, it's Nashville, it's not by definition. They were the eighth seed. And that just, that for me is something that I personally don't like about the NHL. But on the other side of it, if you're that eighth seed or you're that franchise that goes in and is a seven or eight, you're like, okay, we have a shot. I just feel like it devalues the regular season. But whatever. It's the way that it is.
I know that the ending is familiar, but do they get extra credit for where they went before the turnaround? I mean, I don't know how fans feel about that. Like, because
I think most fans thought that this was a windfall to even win a series.
Yeah.
And I think if you put it on Twitter, put it on fan page, whatever, put it to the listeners now. And I realize we have a younger audience and it's less apt to be writing into the sound off section or leaving comments under articles. So, that's a good thing for my money. But
shot at sound off.
Yes.
No reason.
I didn't see anything.
Unnecessary.
I didn't see any. Was there a good sound off letter this weekend?
I haven't checked.
Did Dorothy make a return now that Carlos cut his hair?
If she's paying attention, she's calling in to say, I told you so. The hair splits
that's
are in
right.
her favor.
Oh, absolutely.
Man.
But right I think it. Most Blues fans would say, not just most, because that's 51%. I think probably 80%+ would say, yeah, Nashville's the better team. So,
and I think
that's kind of that. It sucks because it's almost more fun to be able to bitch about something. And yeah, I think you can bitch about the call in game four.
Sure.
But the Blues scored 11 goals in six games, and they went 1 for 15 on the power play and 2 goals in the entire postseason. I mean, to ISO on one call. Another thing that, because it's, now a week and a half old, almost 2 weeks old, is that just crappy goal that wound up being the game-winning goal for the Predators in game one. Vern Fiddler, of all people, scoring the game-winning goal on just a bad giveaway and a bad play. Mm. Brutal. Because truthfully, that's what I was thinking while I'm watching that thing. I'm like, okay, if that doesn't happen, maybe the Blues wind up winning game one, and maybe even if the Predators win this thing, it's going back to St. Louis for game seven. The thing is, even when they were up yesterday, I'm like, first off, I don't know if they're going to be able to hold on to this thing. I'm stunned that they scored. We both looked at each other yesterday afternoon at our house going, oh my God, they're up 1-0. And then secondly, even if it did get back to St. Louis, I still would have thought that the Predators were the favorite. Even though, don't get me wrong, the building would have been going bat crap. It just never felt like the Blues were the better team. And it really didn't throughout the vast majority of the playoffs. But that's the deal. That's kind of, like you said, Ben, who they were. They superseded expectations based on where they were in the first week of February. And, I'll take a postseason run. Oftentimes when, whether it would be, any team locally comes up short, and I think there's a natural instinct for people to pat the team on the ass and say it was a great year, I tend to not do that. But in this case, I wouldn't call it a great year. I'm just saying, this was a windfall. I didn't expect this. The thing that's tough is that I don't really know what they can do in the off season realistically within the frame of the situation they have with contracts to truly improve. And so I think much of what you saw in 2016-17 that provided a windfall is going to be out there again, with the exception of Robbie Fabry. But I don't think Robbie Fabry should be, you know, crowned some hero as if he's going to solve all the problems in the world, you know, when he comes back. They're still further away than that. So the one thing that I'll take away from the postseason that I didn't have this time last year, of course, mainly because he wasn't in net for the vast majority of the games, is that the Blues look like they really have a hell of a goaltender in Jake Allen. That was a clinic for damn near all of the Stanley Cup playoff appearances here over 11 games. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, and that gives you a chance in any playoff series. We've seen goalies win Stanley Cups in the last few years, and I think that's a lesson in them. What Nashville's doing now too. You just get in the playoffs, just get there, and if you got a hot goalie, you got a chance to take down anybody.
Yeah, you didn't have a backup to pull him for. I mean, you needed him to be the guy, and he was, after a year where he looked like he was we thought he had the yips, and now he comes out looking like this. So I was very impressed with how Jake played. I think they've got what they said about him all along proved to be true, so we'll see if he can keep it rolling, but you got to feel good about that moving forward.
Your thoughts, 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. That's how you can get involved on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Mother's Day is approaching, 6 days away, as a matter of fact. And if you're looking for a gift for mom, try Pro Flowers, a wonderful sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Mother's Day is this weekend. You can still send the 100 blooms for mom bouquet from Pro Flowers in time for Mother's Day and wow her with these bright, colorful flowers. It comes with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And if you really want to make a statement, you can upgrade to a premium vase and include gourmet chocolates for just $10 more. Choose the delivery date you want, and Pro Flowers guarantees your flowers will arrive fresh and beautiful and stay that way for at least 7 days or your money back. There's still time to get 100 blooms for mom delivered by Mother's Day. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and use my code MORNINGAFTER. One word, MORNINGAFTER. You'll get these stunning flowers and free glass vase starting at $19.99. That's proflowers.com and code MORNINGAFTER. When you click on the mic, order today before you're out of time and Pro Flowers is out of this bouquet. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Kelly Chase, looking forward to getting his perspective on everything coming up at 9 o'clock. And then we're giving away two Email of the Day prizes today. Free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots. The emails were so bad on Friday that we are carrying it over. We all unanimously, me, Doug, and Jay, all said, let's carry it over to Monday. And so a two-shoot prize today for the Hot Shots Email of the Day. Free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Guys, any chance we can get a picture of Ben Fred's feet? We've all seen Tim and Doug's feet, but not knowing what Ben is trotting around on is killing me. I'm asking for a friend of mine. Thanks, the old mud boot.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't seen your all's feet.
No, he hasn't.
It's hot, though.
No.
The trap.
Don't give in to these creeps, Fredzy.
Guys, the Blues should have shaved. Thanks. That comes from Dorothy, also known as Balls Deep.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the only good news about the Blues being out is that all the fans can shave their awful, stringy, nasty beards. Mm. How'd those playoff beards work out, fellas?
Do you ever that yourself? You ever grow a beard in support of your club?
It's kind of a touchy subject. I can't grow facial hair very well.
Oh, I can't either.
Yeah.
Not that I would do it anyway.
Well, yeah, that's what I say.
I mean, it's their team, really. It's not really our team.
Speaking of facial hair, did you know Plowsy's going to get a trim today, Tim?
Are you really?
He's getting rid of the mullet and the stash.
Oh, are you really? What are you gonna do? You gonna shave that lid,
not shave it. I have like a BMX dirt track on top of my head and kind of lumpy. It looks like I dropped several times. So I like to keep a full head of hair, but just trim off the mullet, get the stash off. It's gonna be weird, but this thing hasn't been shaved in a couple months, so it needs some fresh air.
Who'll do the cutting?
I don't know. Probably Great Clips.
Oh, don't go.
Well, they just have my information.
Okay.
I mean, they know how much I like cutting.
Are you going to have them shave your lip there? Or are you going to do that yourself?
That's all me. Okay. That'll be a trim for myself.
All right.
Have you ever got a shave somewhere?
No.
I don't think I'd like the straight razor that close to my neck in a stranger's hand.
No, I don't need to have someone shave me. I think I can handle that with the electric razor.
Some fellas like to do that.
I have almost no facial hair.
Yeah, me neither.
I think it's a good thing. I mean, you don't want to have to shave every day at 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon again, do you?
No, that's fair.
I would think it's a curse to have a just constant battle with the staying clean shave.
I should have to shave about once a month.
That's about it for me, too. All right. Well, we got that figured out.
Hey, guys, the real story of the weekend is that Tommy Pham has new contacts. Thanks. That's from Travis.
Again.
Doug, Tommy Pham is raking for these Cardinals, and they went down there and took on a tough Atlanta Braves team and showed them the what's what and the who's who.
Yeah, he had 3 home runs this weekend, the game winner yesterday. I guess you're going to have to stick with him for a while now, huh?
Well, yeah,
Fowler comes back and says,
you
really don't.
Fowler comes back and says, I'm okay now. And you go, wait a minute, you're hitting 220 and Pham's hit 3 home runs. Okay, I guess Fowler, you're in.
I think you got to ride with him for a little bit. Tommy Pham's career tells us that we probably can't expect that production for a consistent stretch, but certainly take advantage of it while he's flourishing. His context thing, this thing is it's become a battle for him, man. His eyesight is an issue. He's changed contacts a million times. He's got the eye disorder that affects how he sees pitches. I mean, it's real, but it's just like, it's become a nightmare for him.
I can't imagine how you'd hit a 97-mile-an-hour major league fastball if you can't see very well.
That seemed to be a problem, yeah. He can't have, there's no surgery or anything to fix it. You just got to keep switching the contacts out to see which one works.
Really?
Yeah, he's done it a million times.
Still hasn't found the right thing.
No, he's got a...
whatever he was wearing yesterday, I think that was probably the right thing.
Stick with that, yeah.
Yeah.
He made a great defensive play, too. He's playing well.
Yeah. And Sierra came up. When was the last time they called someone up from Class A ball to start?
Oof.
To become a starter.
And makes a hell of a catch.
Yeah.
Gets on base.
Base hit, picked off.
Well, fitting in well.
The Cardinals are now ahead of the Cubs. How about that? With the Cubs losing last night, getting swept. The Yankees, I mean, Cardinals got to see that firsthand. That was, you want to talk about a team that was supposed to be in a transition year. Or period of years, the Yankees are 20-9. It's the best record in baseball.
Yeah, they're a year or two ahead of where they thought they'd be, I think.
I mean, they just have some guys who can absolutely rake. And they just got Gary Sanchez back this weekend at catcher. But, I mean, Aaron Judge rakes. Matt Holliday is raking.
Yeah.
And is going to play some first base this evening when they're in Cincinnati, since they won't have the DH. The Cincinnati Reds are actually in first place. Reds 17-14, Cardinals 16-14, Cubs 16-15, Brewers 16-16, and the Pirates are 14-17. Of all of those places, the only one that I feel like I could say I believe will remain where they are when the season is all said and done, the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think that's the last place team in the National League Central. The rest of it, I have no idea. I can't imagine the Cubs not winning the division and not winning the division by a comfortable margin, comfortable being 6 to 7 games at least. But both the Reds and Brewers can put up some big-time offense. The issue for both those teams is their pitching. But the Reds have won 5 in a row.
I think the Cubs do have some pitching question marks. Jake Arrieta doesn't look like the Arrieta we've seen the last couple of years. John Lackey's pushing 40 years old at this point.
And looks like it. I mean, he's pitching like it.
And Hendricks, who was so good last year, you know, I don't know that he's going to win the ERA title again. I don't know if he's really that good. Lester is still a quality pitcher, but, you know, he's another one who's hitting his mid-30s now, and their bullpen has had some problems. So the Cubs might have a real Achilles heel there.
Yeah, I think the Reds will probably come down to earth. The Brewers probably... They're the ones to watch.
I agree.
They're a team
that's
a little bit ahead of the transition too.
I agree with you on that. If they had, and now Zach Davies threw a damn good game yesterday against the Pirates, but the Pirates are throwing out like a shell of a lineup right now.
Yeah, Marte screwed them.
And there's some injuries there as well. David Freese not able to play, and he's hurt. So, you know, I look at the Brewers and I'm just like, hey, they can score, but I don't know if they can pitch, similar to a couple of other teams in the National League Central, the Cubs and the Reds. But to have a division this tight is something else when you're talking about entering the middle part of May and, you know, getting close to the quarter point of the season. You know, I don't know. Like I said, if I had to bet on who's going to have a better win percentage than where they are right now of the two, Two of the five teams, I would say it would be the Cubs and the Brewers. Cubs at 51.6 winning percentage and the Brewers at 500. I would say that both of those will be higher for those teams when it's all said and done. Mike Leake continues to just dominate when he goes out there with the Cardinals.
So did Lance Lynn.
I can't imagine that that is going to continue, but my God, at this point, he's got, what, a six-start sample size to reflect upon?
Mm-hmm. 1.79, I think, is his ERA. You look at the Cardinal record, and it still kind of feels like they haven't played very well, and yet they're a half game out of first place. I think they've won 10 out of 14 games, and they left several games on the table. I mean, they really did. They blew a handful. They blew a 4-0 lead to the Reds a week ago Sunday. It feels like they've got a long way to go up, too. Some of their hitters, I think, are still going to be a lot better than they've shown so far. Fowler, Piscotty, Molina, Grichuk, I think, will hit better. And yet, they're still right there.
Yeah, the thing that I think you take away from the Braves series, Atlanta's not very good, but the defense looked better. I mean, the grounders are now being, you know, being fielded. Colton Wong's turning the double plays. Him and Aledmys Diaz are making plays that earlier in the season they were booting or dropping. And, you know, you're kind of starting to see that defense look how it looked at spring training. And you can't blame that on the Braves. I mean, fielding a ground ball is fielding a ground ball. So when those are happening, you're thinking, okay, maybe they're starting to click some things into place defense-wise. Because if they just play, they're not going to be a good defensive team. But if they can be an okay defensive team, then their offense should be, you know, be able to win some games for them. When they don't have an error or give away an out on the base path, they tend to win. Mm-hmm. They just haven't been able to do that very often.
Matt Holliday's
starting to do it now.
Matt Holliday's pants were too tight last night. He struck out and he sucks. His pants are so tight, I think I can see his member through them. Thanks.
Okay, come on now.
He's got that amazing radio show.
Thank you.
Surely he's wearing a cup.
Was that you saying that, Tim, or was that a text?
Matt the Bat. Matt the Bat. A fan of the show, sir. That's all he is.
No, I mean the stuff about his pants. Was
No. That was from the 618.
Oh.
I'm a 314 number.
Okay. I didn't notice these trousers.
Guys, the entire Cubs starting rotation were all candidates for serious regression to the mean. Short of Lester, their pitching is a mess and is going to be a mess all season. That's from Kevin's brother, Jack Demoff.
Well, I think that could be true. And if it is true, then the Cubs are going to probably be right there with the rest of the pack. I mean, you can't do it, really, without solid starting pitching. You can hit your way to 500, maybe, but I don't know that without regular quality starting pitching, you're going to be a championship contender.
Get a good idea where the Cardinals are between now and the end of the month. You know, the Marlins aren't playing really well. They're three games under 500 and don't have, I mean, they're just starting any asshat in their system to get through games. Although the wonderful Jose Urena shut out the Mets yesterday.
Is that who they list as their starting pitchers day-to-day?
Asshats.
Any asshat
in the organization. Ideally on the 40-man, just to make it easy. But they have, after the trip through Miami, Cubs, Sox, Giants aren't that great. But then they finish off the month with 9 against the Dodgers and Rockies.
The Rockies are good.
Yeah, I know. 6, and they have some pitching, too. Random dudes.
And Mark Reynolds suddenly is an all-star.
He's playing. But he, you know what? If you nerd out on these fantasy baseball stats for years, Mark Reynolds, there's a pitcher who does this, too. Mark Reynolds starts out almost every season like this, and then he just absolutely fades. And I have no idea why it is. I just know there are years of going, God, Mark Reynolds. And then you go, oh, yeah, he'll do this for like a month or two, and then he just absolutely collapses. So that's what I'm expecting. You pulling up Mark Reynolds' April splits?
No, I was just thinking of the time I saw him break out a window at Wrigley Field doing batting practice.
Raking?
That was nuts.
We had him on spring training on the picnic table a couple years ago when he was with the Cardinals. And I asked him, well, where's all that power come from? I mean, you're a big guy. You're not
steroid
shot.
You're
not huge. Where's all that power come from? And he says, well, I got a big ass.
But that played well. Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah, between now and...
I'll look up his splits for you, Tim.
Thank you. Between now and June 4th, the Cardinals have 6 games against the Cubs, 6 games against the... 7 games against the Dodgers, 2 against the Sox, and 3 against the Rockies. The one respite in there, at least what should be a respite, you would think, is the Giants, who are just not particularly good. But you know, one of the things that has tied into this run is since leaving the Bronx on April 16th, they have been enjoying some butt asses. And, you know, that's the way that it works. Just like the Cubs just lost three in a row. I wonder if something's wrong with the Cubs. Well, the Cubs just played the team that has the best record in the game. So the Cardinals will be put to the test here. Plus, it's a West Coast trip coming up. And I will be, if the Cardinals are sitting above 500 and a half game out of first place on June 5th, and that's going into playing the Reds, so I don't even count the Reds in that same category, five in Cincinnati, four in Cincinnati, I would be thrilled and very surprised. I don't see it. But hopefully it does happen.
Their outfield is going to be a bit of a concern potentially here. They got
health.
Jose Martinez out now with a groin, and Fowler and Piscotty still beat up a little bit.
I really feel bad for Martinez. I mean, he's wanted a chance for so long, and it looks like he's finally going to get it. And what a game into it, two games into it, pulls out the groin muscle, and you could tell he was in a lot of pain there. It could be a while before we see him again. That's Tim kind of been the story of his career, though. He can't stay healthy.
Well, he's had three knee surgeries, and it's been a rough road, but hopefully bounces back, because you just hate to see. You wonder if this is the end of the Jose Martinez feel-good story. Those guys don't seem to last very long. You know, the Hazelbaker effect, it wears off over time, but maybe he has one more. Tim was right on Reynolds, man. Last 5 years, his OPS in April, 9-11, and then after that, nothing above 8. Nothing above 7.
I don't know why it's that way. I just know it's that way. And so plan accordingly. So if you have Mark Reynolds in your fantasy team, sell the stock.
He's a top 10 player right now. And
as long as you're the stock. Your
I
commissioner
did the same
doesn't,
thing with Eric Thames.
Ooh, you got rid of Thames?
Yes. I acquired him, and I immediately traded him within the same 24-hour span.
He's fun to talk to. He's like a guy.
He does like a really good game.
He's like a guy who
likes to talk about weeing.
Yeah, he also seems like a guy who is just completely on board with what's happening. Feels like if any of us were to wake up one day and start hitting bombs, that's how he sounds. He's not like I should have been doing this the whole time. He's like, yeah, I'm getting really lucky and it's awesome.
Yeah, well, he enjoyed Reds pitching for like seven of those home runs, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. The Reds will help your power numbers, guys. You got to feel sorry for Atlanta starting pitching with the way the ball flies out of that park. Does seem like they might have a rebuilding of the old launching pad at Fulton County Stadium. Remember the launching pad they called it?
Yeah, sure.
And if you hit a ball and you're a power hitter on the left side, that thing fires out to right. It's SunTrust.
Carpenter hit one in the old chop house.
Your old chop house, Jack.
That's okay. I don't mind that. I like seeing home runs.
It's going to be.
I like seeing power hitters.
If you're going to root for a team that's no good, the Braves have to be the one, right? You got Brandon Phillips, Bartolo Colon, R.A. Dickey. We got some characters on that team.
You got some old guys on there. What were they thinking?
Well, they knew they were going to stink, so they wanted some pieces that people wanted to come see, and also some guys that if they had a decent season, they could trade them off for assets at the deadline, you know?
What do you want to do this evening? Well, the Braves have Bartolo Colon and Brandon Phillips. Guess we'll go there. I don't know about your marketing strategy, Ben Fred.
You wouldn't watch Bartolo Colon pitch?
No.
Why not?
If it were my backyard, I might look out there and go, that's interesting.
He's so poorly, it's fun.
Doug, Tim was right, you asshat. That's from Mr. Nipples, Doug.
Stop it, Nipples. The Gong is brought to you by Danny Schwartz Insurance Agency in Columbia, Illinois. Danny's licensed in Missouri and Illinois and handles auto, home, commercial, life, boats, ATVs, campers, motorcycles, you name it. Danny Schwartz Insurance Agency and Farmers Insurance. May the Schwartz be with you.
Hey, Tim, important question. Why is there now a lot of step-sibling and step-parent porn now? It seems to have happened over the last few months. Thanks. It's from the 314. I agree that it has. I don't know why.
Don't let this throw us off track.
People ask questions.
You gonna get to the bottom of that?
I really don't know what that's about.
Because they're out of titles. Next time you're out in Vegas.
I don't know. We're going to Vegas here in a couple of weeks, although it'll be a very different trip than normal because, you know, my wife's 6 months pregnant.
What do you do in Vegas when your wife is pregnant?
Well, this is my first time experiencing that, and I would imagine a lot of golf, a lot of poker during the
buffets.
And then I don't know if we do the buffets, but we'll probably be in bed by 10 o'clock. But hey, we like it. You know what, Doug? We like it.
You don't do the buffets? You don't line up and go back 2-3 times?
No.
Not just so much. Load it up.
Not so much. That Bellagio, I think, has a nice buffet.
Oh, I bet it does. Oof.
Don't they all?
Unlimited crab legs?
I think it's like $75.
Oh, geez.
can get it comped if you you know the right people.
If you ball so hard.
Yeah.
Doug, now that the playoffs are over, can you please trim your butt beard? It's getting a little scratchy for me. Thanks. Mae Young's newborn hand is just a real force. Yeah.
Filthy. You know, expecting that from him. Mae Young's newborn hand has been suspended. Suspended a period of 2 days' time. Hey, hey. Thank you, Hotshots, for the leather-bound suspension logule.
We will be at Hotshots a week from Thursday for TMA Live, and all of our events when we're on the road is presented by, are presented by Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And we have announced the rescheduling of the Free Dotem Open with Tapawingo dealing with flood issues. We are moving the tournament to Friday, July 7th, Doug. Friday, July 7th, Doug.
Okay. At Tapawingo still?
At Tapawingo, absolutely.
All right. Well, it'll be dried out and in good shape by then.
If you cannot play, we will be rescheduling. I'm told the great Dan Packer will be sending out emails to the captains of each team and giving you the option to refund, and I'm imagining some people won't be able to play, but that will open up the door for those who wanted to register but couldn't because it sold out in 12 hours. And it'll be Friday, July 7th. Hey, Doug, I have a buffet in my pants you keep coming back to. That's from the 314. Can you fly at 6 months? That's from the 314. Yes, I'm told.
Oh, I would think so. Sure.
All the way up until, like, I think, like mid-July, I think we can still fly. So we're going to go to Hilton Head as well with my family. Mi familia.
Yeah.
That means my family.
Yeah, I know. I know what it means. It's not too far from the English.
Probably a lot of people didn't, though. Okay. And that just shows that I'm bi. That's a double entendre on being gay sometimes. Tim, I have a reservation for tonight at Doug's buffet. And by buffet, I mean his butt bush.
Whoa.
I'm not even going to suspend him anymore. I think we're trying too hard this morning.
Well, people are upset about the blue season coming to an end. And they realize, oh my God, unless the Cardinals are good this year, we'll be focused on Missouri basketball next. Yeah. That's what we have on the itinerary. That's what happens when there's an NFL void. And you can't really even bitch about that anymore. You're just like, oh, they suck.
Well, but this happens every year this time of year.
No, I understand, but from 1995 all the way through 2014, 15, you could talk about the Fighting Rammies. A few years in there, Missouri football. Now it's kind of like, I hope the Cardinals are good.
Mm, come on, Redbird. Come on, you Redbirds.
Please, Cardinals, be good. Please, please.
Well, as long as they're entertaining. As long as they're in
either
the fight.
Be good or be awful. You know what I mean? Don't be mediocre. Awful is interesting. Just don't hover around the middle. Pick one.
My criteria is I just want them to be in it so that every game matters. It's the years when you're 15 games out in August that you just totally lose.
Have not had a summer of non-interesting Cardinal baseball for real since 1995. And I know that sounds incredible, and some would say, well, what about like the years they didn't make the playoffs, 03? The best candidate would be 07. But even then, for as bad and as injured as they were in the wild card mix. It wasn't necessarily likely, but mathematically, they were toward the end of the season. Every other year, even the years they didn't make the playoffs, they were in there. Last year was a crap year, but they were there until the last day of the season. So in that sense, you can't argue with the competitive element the organization puts out there each time, along with number of pennants and world championships. And even in 97, 98, 99, you had the home run thing going on. So I would be surprised if they're totally out of it. I just would be surprised if they're I'd be stunned if they're leading the National League Central when the All-Star break rolls around. And like I said, I think between now and you take a look at the schedule on June 5th, they will be put to the test. Hey, Doug, is it socially acceptable to be late to work if I'm at home taking my morning recreational? Thanks. That comes from Stan Royer.
No, it isn't. The old Cardinal third baseman?
I just read what's in the prompter.
It's not acceptable. Get yourself regular. Wake up earlier if you have to.
Doug, let's ditch work and get some strange. It's from White Collar Gangster. And I thought he's the father of a young tyke about to be given birth to by Townie.
Right. So I'm going to suspend him.
He needs to clean his act up as a potential father soon to be.
He wants to go get strange.
Clip that off.
White Collar Gangster has been suspended. He's been suspended.
He should be reading parenting books.
Time for wanting to get strange. His name will appear in the Hotshots leather-bound suspension logule for a period of 2 days' time.
Doug, could you tell the audience about Ryan Kelly? Because without him, I believe our show fails to exist.
Well, without him, a lot of people don't have a roof over their heads. How's that for importance? You know, how you doing? Ryan Kelly's doing just fine.
He's doing fine
because he provides mortgages, and he can refinance your current loan. Maybe you've already got a house, and you say, you know what, I sure would like to save money. I don't know who to call. Well, I've been telling you who to call for a couple years, and it's Ryan Kelly. He can get you the best rate, and you'll get the best service doing it. If you have a rate that's not in the threes right now, you need to call Ryan Kelly. You need to get yourself refinanced. You need to save yourself a couple $100 a month, probably, and possibly tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan with Ryan Kelly and his fine team showing you how you can refinance your loan. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team work hard. The reason for that, so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you want to go anywhere else? So call Ryan. I'm about to give the phone number now. 314-7-
What's wrong?
Call Ryan at 314-719-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
Ryan Kelly, title sponsor of this fine program. Looking forward to talking over with Kelly Chase at 9 o'clock. John Shannon of Rogers Sportsnet, he'll be with us at 8:15, and the Cat will be with us from Miami, where the Cardinals begin a three-game series this evening against the Marlins in front of 10,000 people. Doug, that's what we have coming up for you in the 8 o'clock hour. This 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling. Design Air came over to my house and installed a whole new deal in our basement.
Did they?
Just a whole new deal, because that is allowing us to now control the heating and cooling in the basement. And it's Design Air Heating and Cooling. Let them do the same for you. I see that we're finally going to be approaching the high 80s. Here in St. Louis, it looks like, I hope, the cold temperatures and the rain behind us. Make sure that you're ready to go with Design Air Heating and Cooling. Design Air Heating and Cooling. Seth Goldkamp, he was at my house working the whole thing out. Generations of Goldkamp's leading Design Air Heating and Cooling into 2017. Design Air Heating and Cooling, donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. You are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.